Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at freshbooks.com/AAA. Welcome to All About Android. This is episode 286, recorded on Tuesday, October 4th, I think, 2016.
Yep,
your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Florence Ion, here to you via remote.
Oh, excellent. On your set that is not quite your set yet, but soon to be your set. For things.
Okay.
Yeah, something along those lines. We're a little discombobulated. It's been a long day. Lots of Google stuff that we've all been doing in different capacities, be it sitting at this table all day or being at the event in Flo's case. So much stuff.
Or in front of a camera all day.
All in front of a camera, sitting in a room for Ron's case. I have to imagine Jerry Hildebrand of Android Central, who is joining us today, and we're super thrilled to have him. I have to imagine you have had your own day from, I don't know, hell or whatever you want to call it. Lots of stuff going on. How about you?
I kind of wish I had spent it drinking beer, but it was busy.
Well, I hope that you're drinking beer now, because I thought that today was, you know, kind of a difficult day to go through without beer as well. And then I went to the Twit fridge. Apparently, there's a Stone IPA in there. So I'm going to go ahead and imbibe during today's episode, because by golly, we have earned this.
And that's great. You're surrounded by TVs, so anybody who's surrounded by TVs would want to drink themselves copiously.
Well, in terms of drinking, I got something that'll make you want to start drinking before we get started the Google News. So this has nothing to do with today's announcement from Google. We're going to get to that in a moment. But we wanted to highlight an interesting thing that happened last night. So last night I received a tweet from a faithful viewer, Dave Q. Actually, Josh, if we can pull up his tweet. He sent a tweet that said that basically said Ron XO's voice turns up in a rave intro tune in front of thousands at Android Show. And I read that and I didn't quite understand what he meant by that. And so I clicked on the YouTube link, and well, Josh, let's play the first link and you can see what I heard after clicking.
This is a huge day. This is the day that we've been waiting.
Whoa. That's Ron's voice. What you didn't hear before that, what you heard.
You guys have to read the.
Yeah, replay from the very beginning.
Hang on. Before you do that, I got to take it through the linear. So that's the link that Dave Q shared with us. And I did some research, and it turned out to be there's a DJ named Marshmallow. And that was a clip is from him playing Lollapalooza in Chicago a couple of weeks ago in August. But as you mentioned, before you hear my voice saying this is Dave Mobile Rain 4, you hear somebody saying Marshmallow. And so I did some more digging on YouTube, and then I found the second clip where you can hear it crystal clear. So Josh, roll the second clip.
Marshmallow. Yo, 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 Marshmallow. This is a huge day. This is the day that we've been waiting.
So the yo, 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 Marshmallow, is that you, Flo?
I mean, it sounds like something I would say. I say yo a lot as resident millennial.
I think it might actually be. So it's Flo saying Marshmallow and Ron saying this is the day we've been waiting for on some random DJ's opening at Lollapalooza.
So now this opens up a series of questions, which is, one, did the guy just look for any mentions of Marshmallow out in the world because his DJ name is Marshmallow and he's using that? Or is he a fan of the show?
Oh, man. We need to know the answer to this question. Is somebody connected with Marshmallow? If so, put him in contact with us. AAA@twit.tv. We have to talk to you about this because this is weird. Yep.
So now what's funny is that I wanted to listen to more to see if there was any other clips of us, but I couldn't get through 10 more seconds of music because it's god awful.
It was pretty, it was like It's very dirty dubstep. That's what I call it.
Well, he's actually played shows with Skrillex, so it actually makes a whole lot of sense. This guy's
he's a
big deal. He's a big deal, apparently. Yeah. So, hey, you guys are famous. Again.
There you go. All about Android in the wild, and in the least of all places that we would expect.
Yeah.
So
what were you gonna say, Jerry?
I'm gonna start the Jason Howell tribute band.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I feel a little left out. It's true. I feel like
that would be a nice folk band, though. I feel like that would be a really nice, like, family friendly folk band. Plays at Lagunitas on the weekends.
This is just such a strange. I'm so happy that someone discovered this, A, and B,
me
passed
too.
It along. But, God, that's so weird.
So we want to give a proper shout-out to Dave Q on Twitter for pointing this out, for watching it and catching it and realizing it. I'm honestly a little freaked out that my, like, and Flo, I don't know if you are as well, too, but that our voices, like, there are thousands of people in that crowd. And just, like, I feel appropriated. I feel a little, like, it's just
weird.
To
be fair, those are all candy kids, so they're probably a little not on the earth.
Yeah, even if they listen to the podcast on a weekly basis, they probably still didn't recognize your voice. That's kind of the world that they're living in at that particular moment. mouth full of glow sticks.
I'm just here for the music.
Exactly. All right, that's pretty awesome stuff. But we have things that are pertinent to Google and what it's doing. Marshmallow was at one point pertinent to what Google's doing, but that's in the past. We've got the future to talk about today.
This truly is the day we've all been waiting for, Jason.
Is it? Yes, we've got Google's big hardware event for this morning. We're going to talk about the Pixel phones, the Google Homes, the Google Wi-Fis, the Daydream Views, the Chromecast Ultras, even though that's not Android, but still we'll talk about it, and a whole lot more. Josh, are you ready? It's time for the news.
Google announced a couple of pixels today, but we're presenting Android News in 900...
We need the shot of the Hindenburg crashing.
Oh, you were so close. You were so close. That's a data point that you write down, Josh.
We're presenting Android News in 921,600 pixels.
921, okay. Anyway, I don't know if that equates, but
I can see the Android news van going along the road at 60 miles an hour and it going off the side into the ditch.
The road turns and it just goes off the cliff. It's okay.
You know what happened? I started the news thing too early and then I didn't have enough time.
Yeah, it's all right. You've been thinking about this literally all day. So it's true.
He came there up. Goes my moment.
I wish I was there to hug Josh. Yeah,
I know. I feel like he needs a hug. It's okay. I appreciate the effort.
Yes. So let's get into it, shall we?
Let's move on.
So, today marked the big event in San Francisco where Google made many announcements of new hardware that we're going to talk about. A lot of it had been leaked already. But one of the most important things that came out of it, I think, was the new marketing position by Google, their new marketing strategy around the term made by Google. If you go to google.com/madeby, I believe is the URL, you see that's where they collected all the information from today. And this really represents Google's new brand position when it goes out to consumers. In this mode, they are designing and making their own hardware, a lot of times partnering with folks like HTC to do the manufacturing. But they made it very, very clear that, like, the Pixel phones, which we'll talk about, as well as the other items, were designed by Google. And this is a risk of a bit of conflict with Samsung and LG and some of their other partners, but really this represents Google's shift in strategy towards a unified portfolio of in-house hardware. It's a platform for them to demonstrate their services better than anybody. And this new strategy was actually approved by Sundar Pichai in the summer 2015, and it began development back in fall 2015. So this is a year worth of work culminating in today's event. And now under Flo's favorite guy, Rick Osterloh, the hardware division now has a supply management team. They're able to leverage what they know from Nest and their expertise to provide a lot of the backbone. And Hiroshi Lockheimer says that Osterloh's team will be treated the same as Samsung and LG, siloed from confidential information about Android, which I find very, very interesting. So, Jerry, what do you make of this current new shift in marketing strategy from Google?
I like it, for starters. It's, for better or worse, Android is Google's baby. And it's time that they got a little bit serious about it. It's the Nexus program was great, and I'm, you know, one of those guys that tinkers with phones. I love them. But, God, I'm going to get in so much flack for saying this. I've wanted an iPhone that runs Android forever, and today I have one.
Wow. I didn't know that about you, Jerry.
Well, simple. I like simple. I like quality. I like what I was shown. I mean, the price is a little hard to swallow, but you have that with any phone that it competes against. So I kind of expected it.
Hoped for it at some point. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been kind of hoping that Google would, I don't know, become a little more serious about their effort with hardware. There was always kind of the running fear is, if Google gets a little too serious about this stuff, are they going to offend their partners and everything? And I don't know, to a certain degree, it feels like Android as a platform has kind of proven itself. It's matured enough that maybe Google feels like at this point it can, you know, it can take it to that next level, risk upsetting, you know, some of its partners a little bit. But what are partners really going to do? I suppose Samsung, you know, as one example, has Tizen, and I suppose it could double down on Tizen as a result. But I mean, are they really going to do that?
No. Well, if anything, we've learned time and time again that competition in a good market makes everyone better. So if anything, you know, this should cause LG and Samsung and Motorola and the other folks, if they really want to play in the Android pool, that they've got to step up and make sure it's as good as what Google's putting out. I mean, this is clearly a new competitor on the field that now Samsung needs to worry about. And if, you know, if they treat it right, it just makes them put out better work.
Right.
Yeah, other than, you know, instead of being upset, think of how much better your Note 8 is going to be after what we saw today. It has to be.
Right. Elevating the experience for everyone to a certain level. We'll of course, kind of talk about the specifics. Well, we can do that right now. Flo, you were at the event. I don't know. Did you have a chance to see any of the phones specifically?
I was not at the event, actually.
Oh, I thought that you were supporting something.
No.
My bad.
It's okay. So I was in San Francisco just helping out as backup for Andrew Martonic and Russell Hawley. And we will get to Andrew's hands-on in just a bit and kind of show you some of the pictures from that. But first, let's kind of go through what to expect from the Pixel and Pixel XL. So we kind of were talking about this earlier today, but the Pixel and the Pixel XL are kind of like the iPhone and the iPhone whatever plus. They're practically the same phone. The only difference is battery size and screen size. So with the Pixel, so both phones have, you know, off-the-shelf components, Snapdragon 821 from Qualcomm, 4 gigs of RAM. The regular Pixel has a 5-inch 1080p display, while the Pixel XL has a 5.5-inch quad HD display. Both are AMOLED displays, so you're going to get sort of the same color profile from both. Both are also made of aluminum. They both have an aluminum, a word that's hard to say after a while.
Aluminium.
They both have aluminum, yes, unibody with glass, which I do want to talk to you guys about that after we look at the photos, so we'll get to that in a second. Rear-facing fingerprint sensor, rear-facing 12.3 megapixel camera, which Google claims is the very best ever, even though it's only got an aperture of 2.0, but who knows? We'll see. Also has USB-C and, of course, the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack and speakers on the bottom. So both Russell and Andrew had said that they really liked how loud these two phones got. There's also no camera bump on the back like what you got with the Nexus 6P, which is going to be very nice. They're just very nice slabs of phone. Of course, the smaller Pixel has a 2770 milliamp battery, while the larger Pixel XL has a 3450 milliamp battery. Of course, the time of usage between the two is going to be very different, considering the smaller phone has a 1080p screen versus the quad HD display on the XL. But I mean, we'll kind of see when those end up in our hands. I really want to talk to you guys about what these look like, because I was just musing earlier today about that sort of dipped in look. If you look right here at these pictures that we have on screen, see how it looks like it was almost dipped in to aluminum on the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting like design language. Like I'm just sort of trying to figure out like where this came from. Like, was this a Google decision? Was this an HTC flare?
From what they said, this is all from the bottom up, 100% precisely. Google.
Precisely,
right?
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, from what sounds like, it's like this is what it looks like when Google designs a phone. It's an interesting design choice. By the way, that is the one that I ordered today. I ordered the blue Pixel XL. So it's going to have that white front bezel. On the back is this beautiful blue that is almost like the blue color that you see in Hangouts. So
wait a minute, is it blue or is it really blue?
It's really blue.
Yeah, it's
like really blue.
Pictures
really
don't do it
blue, let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's the one that I ordered too. I got the really blue XL, which unfortunately only comes in the 32 gig variant. It doesn't have the 128 gig variant.
That's all I ordered too. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, come on, guys. Google's promising us what, like free unlimited Google photo storage, high full resolution.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
I'm like, give it to me. Let's see how this works. Like, this is the phone I'm taking on my honeymoon in November. So
what's interesting, someone tweeted at me about this, asking about the photo and media backup, because they're, you know, as you mentioned, they're offering unlimited photo and video backup through Google Photos. But according to BGR.com, they're also doing the app backup like Nextbit with Robin, which they didn't mention at all.
Did anyone hear the confirmation
of that? Or
I've heard similar to Nextbit, but they're only doing it with photos, from what I understand. Is that if your storage gets low, then they remove the older photos and videos to make space for new ones.
You do older food to make space in the refrigerator, Jason.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm very hungry right now.
Yeah.
But removing kind of that old media that you've shot with your camera when your device is running low on storage, and because it's already offloading that stuff into the Google Photos cloud, it does that dynamically to make sure that you don't run out of space, and that's part of the reason why that unlimited thing exists.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Or whoever. No, Jerry, I think you had something.
I was saying that really makes 128 gigabytes a tough sell for $100 more. I ordered both, but I ordered 32 gigs because I'm not going to take more, use more than that in app space, and my pictures are going to live in the cloud. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have redundant backups of my pictures in Google Photos and Dropbox like I do now. And I guess we'll see if I have to offload them. I would really love, Jerry, I'm just totally baiting you right now, but you were having you had some really interesting things to say about the camera today. In our AC chat. And so I'd love to hear your opinion on it, because it doesn't have OIS, which is kind of grating on people a little bit.
Yeah. It's one of those features that like people are saying, well, if this is a premium device, why doesn't it have OIS? What do you think, Jerry?
I want to make it clear. I didn't talk to any, Google representative that on the record chat. But I spent the day tracking down a bunch of questions about some things I had with software and stuff. This doesn't have optical image stabilization like we're used to, but they think what it has is better. It uses a newer model of gyroscope inside the body of the phone, and the image signal processor in the Snapdragon 821 reads its orientation 200 times a second to stabilize the lens electronically instead of having a mechanical lever. That does away with the camera bump, and it's about 20 to 30 times more samples than you can do with the old style OIS. So I'm looking forward to trying it.
For sure. Now, one question I have about that is there's OIS for photo, and then there's image stabilization for video. Are they two different things? Or, like, I guess what I'm wondering is that gyroscope-based stabilization only related to video on this device, and then photo is, unaffected by that correction, or is it for both?
I didn't ask that question specifically, but I got the impression that it's got a smaller aperture, but that's okay because of our stabilization. It'll be open longer, and you'll get even more light data on the big pixels. And then, Jerry, why don't you shut up until you try it? And I was like, okay. So,
but these are good questions. Wow. I mean, this is
what people, I thought so. Question. I mean, people want to know this kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And Google isn't going to tell us unless we ask. So
for sure.
And that's why, Jerry, I wanted you to speak to it because I thought it was an interesting thing to like bring up today, because I was wondering too, like, how can they say that this is the best camera that you've ever seen when the specs don't really seem to match up with that sort of claim? But again, this is just a good, you know, this is just a good tale of how the specs don't always tell you the entire story.
Yeah. Amen to that. But,
so. I know LG did something very similar with the V20. And while it's not official yet, I know several people that have one, and the camera on it is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward. I have to wait until the 23rd to get mine, but I'm going to be trying it.
Yeah, I mean, they really talked this up with the, what is it, the DxO Mark rating, which, I mean, I saw some people like, who cares about DxO Mark rating? That doesn't mean anything, even though in this case, the camera is best of class, right? So what does that mean? Tell me your reasoning behind that.
Well, I said that today because DxO is, it's just kind of like, basically I don't get all of my camera opinions from DxO.
Got it.
So is this a case of just them finding somebody to highly rate it and then touting that? Or like that, is there,
that's like to me, Ron, like that, it just feels like, oh, let's get this huge, you know, association where we're just going to send them this phone. You know, I'm dubious about it because I want to see what other outlets have to say.
I'm guessing it's not the case of like Google talking to DxO Mark and says, hey, can you give this the highest rating you've ever given a phone?
No. Please don't misunderstand. That's not at all. That's not at all what I meant.
I mean, there's something behind that. It's just, do people trust it? Does it actually make a difference?
She's skeptical of the weight that the DxO Mark
Right, exactly. Gives. Yes, that's what, I'm trying to understand.
I'm trying to find like a way to say that and not, yeah. Thank you, Ron. You put it much more eloquently than I would have.
I mean, Wade County in the chat room says DxO highly ranks the Sony phones, and he says, and those are actually terrible. And now, of course, that's Wade County's opinion. I'm sure there's somebody who would counter
Very
that.
Very true.
But if that is the case, then there's an example.
And again, we always go back to the marriage of camera hardware with camera software and the ability to have a fast shutter speed and the whole product working together in one. So I could believe that Sony's cameras do well when measured against the lenses and the photo quality in perfect conditions. But how does those cameras work in the bezel of a phone and in, you know, daily use and low light and all that sort of stuff? So
sure.
You know, I mean, but like Flo said. We got to get our hands on it and see.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I just wanted to add, it is worth saying that this tested significantly, the pixels tested significantly higher than the best device.
Which was the iPhone 7, like 3 points behind it.
So that says something.
Oh, for sure.
That should be exciting. But again, I'm dubious about it until I get my hands on it and I get to do my own testing, quite frankly. So let's just round this out with saying that, you guys, this phone is sold on Locked. You can buy it at the Google store, or rather you can pre-order it right now, starting at $650 for the regular Pixel and $770 for the Pixel XL. It's an extra $100 for the 128 gigs for either phone. The Pixel XL doesn't have that in blue, by the way. Or you can also pay an extra $100 for the Pixel Protect. Is that what it's called now? Pixel Protect?
I don't know. Is that what it's called? I didn't see that. It was Nexus Protect before, right?
Right. Well, anyway, I didn't pay for it because I already paid a pretty penny for the darn phone. But it will be sold at Verizon as well. So if you're a Verizon subscriber, you can go through the carrier. Maybe if you're a, you know, longtime customer, see if you can, you know, get a little subsidy out of them or something like that. But maybe don't count on it. I would suggest buying it unlocked, even if you are a Verizon subscriber, because that makes it easier to use overseas.
Yeah.
From what I understand, and Jerry, please correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think the Verizon one is going to have like a locked bootloader, from what I understand.
Yeah, I can't. The questions I was asking today are differences in the bootloader and any Verizon software that you can see, or any services behind the scenes. Are they installed? If no, they're not. How are the computers in stores going to work? They're Cellebrite machines. I couldn't get a solid answer. I did hear that the bootloaders will be locked on Verizon, but really nobody has anything they want to say at the moment.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks.
Well, they actually said my best bet would be to talk to Verizon instead of trying to weasel information out of them.
No one wants to say.
The Verizon exclusivity was just, I mean, we, Jason, you and I talked about it on the live stream a bit. I mean, like, you know, when we had talked about the lead up to this, I, you know, said if they're going to make a big consumer push, they're going to have to work with the carriers. So on one hand, I'm happy to see this available at Verizon stores, which will reach millions of people and they can walk in and get it. On the other hand, I'm horrified to think of what Verizon will do to these phones, you know, in terms of pre-installing software or anything like that. Did you, Jerry or Flo, did you guys get an answer about that? Will it be native? Will it just be, you know, what the phone is? Or is Verizon going to get their grubby hands on it?
It sounds to me. Sorry, go ahead, Jerry.
I just was going to say that's nobody. Either they don't know, or they're just not in a position where they can talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious about the update aspect. I have the Fallacy Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus on Verizon, so I know what it was like to have. I know what it's like to have a supposed, you know, phone direct from Google with updates coming from Google, and then not get that. In this case, they're touting one of the main features of the Pixel phone is that it's updates direct from Google. So if this is a deal with Verizon, through the carrier, not only that, direct from Google, the minute they're posted. So they're talking about fast updates here, and that's going to make some people definitely happy. But if they've made an exclusive deal with Verizon, I really hope that they've made a similar deal with Verizon as Apple has made for their iPhones, where they can just update these things. And just push it through. Yep. And I don't know if we know the answer to that, but I'm really hoping that if they stick by their promise, which they've made in their marketing, that that also translates through to the Verizon devices. And I'd be a little offended if it didn't.
But. I think the people that we'd be offended by would be Big Red, right?
For sure. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to make these deals, like, I don't know. Apple is able to make these deals. You're Google. Make the deals. Do whatever you need to do to make the damn deal.
Right, which I think putting the onus on Google in that regard is right. I think because Verizon has a way they do business, and if Google wants them to change it, they've got to push for it.
Yeah.
So time will tell. We'll see. I mean, I know that as soon as they're in the Verizon stores, I'm going to go check one out because I want to go see it and play with it and feel the phone, which is great because beforehand I'd have to wait until one of you guys got their hands on it in the studio because Lord knows as great as these phones look, I don't have deep pockets like Flo getting the really blue Pixel at the moment it was announced.
$650. I did something really bad today, by the way. Yeah. I accidentally used some of our wedding gift money on the
slippery slope. It's a slippery slope.
It was in my debit account because I hadn't transferred it over to the account I'm using for all the gifts. And that's how I paid for the phone today.
Oh, no.
Not good.
Don't worry. Eric knows.
Okay, I was going to say, does he know? Does he know?
I have an IOU.
This is how it starts.
But. You'd be like, we're going to save money because we're not going to get a photographer at our wedding because I'll have this phone and it'll take all the pictures.
No. I already paid her. I made sure to pay her.
Okay. So, all right.
So one other thing that the chat room is asking about is that previously, you know, I mentioned at the top about how the Pixel team is being siloed away from the Android team and being treated just like another partner. But you have to assume that they're going to get the updates as soon as these will be the first phones updated, right? I mean, do we get any clarification in around that?
I mean, that's the impression that I get, but nobody said that, you know, specifically.
Explicitly.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like that Mighty Mighty Boss Tone song. It's the impression that I get.
I don't know that song, but I'm assuming there's horns.
I didn't even know that was the right tune there, Flo. That was
no, it wasn't. I was totally off tune. I'm sorry to the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. I loved you in the 90s.
So there is another aspect to these Pixel phones that we have not talked about, and that is its VR capabilities, daydream capabilities.
Excuse me. You mean Yeezy Season 3 Daydream VR?
I don't know if I meant that, but what do you mean?
I'm sorry. It's a terrible joke from Twitter. I'm sorry. It's a Kanye West joke because those of us on Twitter were like, it looks like something Kanye designed because it looks like the same fabric he would put on his clothes. And the joke about his clothes is they're all like made of the same like fabric. They all have the same like motif. Anyway, I'm immune to Kanye jokes.
By design, it's okay. But you do make a very valid point, which is that the Daydream View VR viewer is very different in a number of ways. One of those being it looks like a piece of like clothes, essentially.
It looks like carpet.
It's like lined with cloth.
Sweatpants.
Yeah.
Sweatpants.
Or upholstery.
The idea is it's supposed to be super comfortable, way more comfortable than any, you know, Gear VR that you might be considering.
Well, Gear VR is like Samsung, you know, it's like doubling down on the whole plastic approach, which Samsung has a history in doing, maybe not most recently with their flagship devices, but they were very dedicated to that in the past. Gear VR kind of aligns with that thinking. Here you're getting, much more cozy looking, let's say,
super
VR
cozy
viewer. Yeah. They've made arrangements to, you know, have room on the inside if you wear glasses.
Look at those colors. Look at those nice color combinations. Look at that red.
That crimson is hot. Ugly. That is good.
The crimson
that is
nice.
Cool.
That's interesting, too, because they have a silver one, they have a black one, and they have a crimson one there. And I have heard little birdie saying that crimson is coming in the future as a color for the Pixel.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, I know. Everybody kept rumbling about it today on Twitter, and I'm like, well, I already bought my blue one, y'all, so.
Yeah. That's for all you laggards.
Maybe a blue VR headset is coming.
Oh, that would be nice. A really blue one. So, yes, emphasis on comfort. There's the open, ease of use. So they show just like dropping the phone in and latching it up. And apparently there's technology, part of the tech inside allows you to just drop your phone and move along and it aligns it for you. So like right now with cardboard, you put your phone in there, you kind of have to move it around a little bit to center it. Or you with Gear VR, you have to make sure it lines up with the connector and push it in and snap it into place. This, like you can drop it in and more or less it's going to align the image based on how you drop the phone into there. So it might not be perfectly fit inside. This is, by the way, from Addie Robertson from The Verge. She posted this on The Verge that, you know, you can just kind of drop it in. It makes it a little bit easier for the general consumer, which I think is probably pretty important. Ron and I, you and I talked about that a little bit on TNT earlier. To kind of like bring more people into VR without all of those roadblocks, those hurdles to jump.
Well, I think that was Google's challenge with this announcement was that, okay, we're doing mobile VR. How are we going to differentiate ourselves from what Samsung is doing and from what Cardboard was? And this approach I didn't see coming, this idea of a stylized, comfortable, non-stigmatized visor. That's basically what this is. This is something that people wouldn't be embarrassed to be wearing in their home if somebody comes over because it's made of sweatpants material.
But you guys, it would look so nice in a living room. It would look so nice as a home accessory. It's not just this like standout, you know, technology device that you have in your house. Like, ooh, look at me, I'm a techie. It's come over to my house. I got this cool, you know, VR headset. It's super comfy. It matches the aesthetic in my living room. I like that. And look at that. Yeah. Look at the remote. It just docks in there nicely.
That is awesome. I'm really happy. That's a touch that when they showed that off, I was like, oh, man, that's needed. If you've got an external accessory like this controller, which, by the way, is a great addition to this experience, has a gyroscope inside the controller. So that allows for a lot of, you know, freehand control while you got that visor strapped to your face. Being able to dock it inside so that, it, you know, you don't lose track of it and everything. I think they made some really good decisions here.
I mean, this user-centric design, this user-centric approach, I think is really a smart move. Even in this video, watching this hands-on video, just seeing how pliable and how soft it is, and you know, putting this next to the Samsung Gear VR, which just looks cold and stiff and plasticky and hard, I think this is a genius approach.
Yeah. And J.K. Rowling's is on board, so you can become a wizard.
And CCP.
And who?
The makers of Eve. CCP, the makers of Eve.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That game looked cool.
It's a big deal. Well, yeah, trust me.
We said on the live stream earlier that like this whole mobile VR play will be dependent on having content that gets people to want to interact with it. And so whether that is some sort of movie viewing, some sort of game, some sort of experiential thing, education, that content's got to come. And so it's great to see that they've got a plan for that. And they've got things like the Harry Potter thing and the Eve, the game and all that stuff.
Right.
Ron, you make a really good point, like content that people want, because remember, like Samsung had Milk VR that you could install and you could just, you know, go through a bunch of whatever content that Samsung offered. This is content from big name studios. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm very curious if it's going to be more of a draw than sort of the, you know, interactive little fun like 3D environments that have been the norm for VR.
Yep. So after, in light of these announcements, Google giveth and then Google taketh away. And I felt really stupid because just yesterday somebody asked me what phone they should get. And I said, oh, you should get the Nexus 6P because probably after tomorrow's event, it's going to be much cheaper. Well, or it won't be available at all because moments after the announcement, Google pulled the Nexus 5X, the Nexus 6P from their online store, no longer available to purchase them. Also gone from the Google store is the NVIDIA Shield console, which many people think is the best Android TV device on the market, as well as the Mattel ViewMaster VR starter pack and the Google Tech C1 Glass VR viewer, which are gone, one presuming to minimize confusion with Daydream. And there's also a Dell Chromebook 13 is gone from the store. I don't really know why, but so out with the old, in with the new.
Man, goodbye 6P and 5X. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, I guess. But I mean, but Google kind of does this every year, right?
Sorry.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like in past, a new item comes along, especially with phones. Like they don't normally simultaneously have old devices and new devices.
Yeah, they listed, remember do the they? Nexus 5. The Nexus 5 would still... Yeah. Or no, the Nexus 6 last year was still in the store at a discounted price.
6P. Oh, okay. All right.
I'm really surprised to see the 5X being taken away because every month or so it goes on sale for $199 through Project Buy. And that is, they've got to be selling a whole lot more of those for $199 than they will the Pixel for $650.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the biggest thing that gets me about this whole announcement is that I think these phones are really great. They're definitely flagship phones. I've never bought a phone for more than $600. Like what was great about the Nexus phones was that $399, that $350 price point. So this is it's going to be interesting to see what the sales results are after, you know, for people who are used to buying a new phone every year or two from Google from the Play Store, and now the prices are doubled.
Yep. Well, to add even more of a nail to the coffin, you're never going to see a Nexus device ever again.
What?
That's it. Like, so whatever you've got in your hand is a special edition. Hold on to it. Sell it on the internet in 20 years. If the internet even exists then, who knows? Maybe it'll be something else. But Google has apparently told Android Police that it has no plans for development of future Nexus devices. All of its efforts are now going to move over to the Pixel line of phones. Nexus 5X and 6P are the very last to bear the name. So if you've got them, flaunt them and take very good care of them because maybe you want to frame them when you upgrade to your next phone.
It's okay. Don't.
I'm going to get my gold.
I'm ready for a new phone. I'm absolutely ready. I'm so done with this phone.
Wow. I don't feel that way. I really like the 6P. What do you think, Jerry?
Did you not see my Snapchat rant?
I blame Flo because there's just something wrong in that equation because that is the Nexus 6P is simply the best phone until today ever, Flo. And you've done something. Best.
I must have a dud because mine just completely has been a terrible. It's been a terrible child.
Oh
no! It's, and you know, I'm mostly joking. Alex works with us. He has horrible problems with the 6P as well.
Wow.
I don't know if there is something that you guys are doing that the 6P just really sucks at, or if it's bad luck or what, but you aren't the only person who absolutely hates that phone.
I'm going to guess that it's Pokemon. That's what's doing it.
No, yeah. I there's no games on this cause it can't handle it. Snapchat isn't really? On this. I took a lot of stuff off of this. I do everything with the S7 Active. I just tether.
That is just crazy. Like, I've had the absolute opposite experience. I love the 6P. And
I'm getting developer options. I've sideloaded a lot of stuff. And, you know, I've really abused the 6P.
Well, there you
physically
go.
Physically and emotionally and mentally. So that might, it's just, maybe it's done with me.
Maybe Flo, what you need is one of these.
Why don't you just have a hammer on you?
Burke dropped it off earlier, and it seems like a good prop for this show. You never know when you're going to need
that.
It's always good to have.
Yeah, this is no joke here. This is there's a lot of leverage on this.
That's like Thor's hammer when he was a little kid.
You know what?
I promise not to break any phones.
The thing is, I actually don't want to smash my 6P. As much as I was making jokes about throwing it out a window and all this other stuff, like, I don't want to do anything to it.
Yeah.
I just want to put it away in a box and let it age gracefully alone and let it go to the happy smartphone heaven in the sky.
Let its battery discharge slowly over the course of however many years.
Exactly.
I'm going to put it up next to my Nexus Q. I'm going to build a little display with Jason's
nice.
Camera.
Good. That's a great idea.
In a shadow box, put it like in a little display, and I like it.
The IKEA has those stacking like displays for models or whatever. Yeah. Those are actually really good for tech as well. Just FYI,
little pro tip. Okay, wow, we are only halfway through the event,
and
that was 45 minutes. So we're going to thank our first sponsor, and then we're going to talk about the other stuff because there is more stuff to talk about. No surprise there. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Is for any of you who are thinking about getting a mortgage, or if you've been through the process of getting a mortgage, you already know that it can be a painful process collecting all that information, getting it all together. You know that you have the goal in mind to get that house, but getting there can be time consuming. It can be a little bit painful along the way. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, it's powerful, it's completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage and removed them from the equation. So if you, like me, hate searching through all that old information to find what you need, it's a little bit too much for my brain to comprehend sometimes. Well, here with Rocket Mortgage, they make it a little bit easier for you. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and your pay stubs at the touch of a button. That's going to help you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process that's going to help you manage all of this from the convenience of, you know, wherever you happen to be, from your couch, from the kitchen table, wherever you happen to be. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today. Go to quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, we don't need to roll a bumper again. I don't want to put Josh through that again. Yeah, he needs a break. He needs to collect himself for the next time he's filling. Okay, but this works. Okay.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
I mean, it's all hardware here, right? We're all talking hardware here. Sure, that
it was a hardware event today, so yeah.
Good call. Okay, so what is the next piece of hardware? We've got Google Wi-Fi. For some reason, I'm really excited about this, mainly because we've got a two-story house at home. The bottom story is where the internet is fed, and you know, I've got our single access point, and it hardly ever reaches upstairs very, very well. So I'm looking forward to this. These are routers for expansion via a mesh networking. Kind of a subtle understated design, has a little circular, or, you know, kind of a line through the middle of this like expanded hockey puck form factor. That line has like a little light through it, so it's going to look okay wherever you happen to put it, understated and subtle. Network assist transitions to whatever the closest Wi-Fi point is. So if you have multiples of these spread throughout your house, they say that it's going to be kind of a seamless handoff of your internet connectivity between those points. And, you know, it's going to make suggestions for optimizing that connectivity, all that kind of stuff. There's an app that allows you to control all the connected devices to your Wi-Fi. So if you want to, you know, manage who can get on Wi-Fi at what time, if you've got kids, for example, and at 8 o'clock, it's Wi-Fi off. Instead of turning off all the Wi-Fi, you can use the app to manage per device. So you can say their device cannot get on anymore. I think that's a pretty killer feature. Support for simultaneous 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz networks. Supports AC 1200 speeds. Bluetooth smart ready. There's 4 gigs of onboard storage. Kind of curious why a router needs onboard storage. Jerry, maybe you have an answer for that. What do you think?
I'm not sure why there's storage there, but also we looked at some pictures very closely today. The power port is also a data port, so it has some sort of debug inside it. Maybe.
Oh.
I mean, maybe the plan at one point was to, you know, load music or something on it. I have no idea. It's
okay. I was going to say, do you guys think gigs. The 4 gigs is for DLNA? But that's like not very much.
That's not enough. Yeah, I was going to say, is it like some sort of NAS or something like that? But 4 gig is not nearly enough.
Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe it's for firmware updates.
Yeah. Could
Firmware updates. Oh, geez.
For your router, your Wi-Fi hockey puck, it's a firmware update.
Just funny because, like, technology, we're still getting firmware updates.
Well, you're always like going to get that, though.
I know.
They didn't abandon the original on hub because we know Google likes to just forget that things exist. And a firmware update for the on hub and for the app will make it work seamlessly with the new Wi-Fi pucks.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, giving a bone to the people that spent a lot of money on Google's Wi-Fi router, the on-hub router, that kind of seemed to promise a lot, although nobody knew exactly what the extent of that would be, just that there would be updates that would enhance its feature set over time. And those updates really never happened. So here you go. It can be part of the mesh network. It still costs more. So I don't know why you buy that over this.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, unless you really like the way it looks,
I think it's strange. Because of the way it looks, because it matches what we will be talking about after.
Yes, that's a good point. and you get a price savings if you buy more than one. You can get a single of the Google Wi-Fi for $129, or you can get a 3-pack for $299. So that comes out right about $100 per. And you get a 3-pack. You can distribute that throughout your home, and hopefully, and I can't wait to try it because my home desperately needs it. That'll fix all of your Wi-Fi woes at home. Pre-orders in November, ships in December. U.S. only at launch, which is a bummer, but Google likes to do that, unfortunately. Yeah.
So what they also like to do is prop up their Chromecast product. I was surprised to see that they didn't rename it Google Cast or anything like that, but we saw a new Chromecast device enter into the market, the Chromecast Ultra. This is a premium Chromecast, and this is, as we speculated and saw the leaks, this is a Chromecast that supports 4K video as well as HDR support and Dolby Vision support, and it's going to feature wider HDR support, including optimizations on a per-scene basis with Dolby Vision. So this is the high-end Chromecast. It's also going to load faster. It's 1.8x times faster load times, which I was already impressed at how fast the new Chromecast loaded as it was. So it's going to be even faster than that. And what I was excited about was that if you want as much bandwidth to get into that Chromecast as possible, they've integrated an Ethernet port into the power adapter so you can plug Ethernet directly into it, get off the Wi-Fi network, have your video stream go right into your TV with no latency or anything like that, and no dealing with the Wi-Fi. So that's a nice little addition. With that comes a price. Chromecast has always been heralded for being so cheap at $35. And now with this is you get double the resolution, you pay double the price. It's gonna be $69, and it's gonna be releasing in November. And currently, there's no pre-order, but there's a wait list. You can go to the Made by Google website and sign up to join the wait list for it. But yeah, with the emergence of 4K TV and HDR support in TV and things like that, this is a no-brainer. And additionally, they announced that the Google Play Store will be supporting movies and TVs in 4K come this November as well too. So you'll have tons of content to cast. Yeah. So yeah, your home theater just got an upgrade.
All right, raise a show of hands. Who has a 4K TV set at home? I do not.
I do not.
Yeah. Okay. So I suppose if you have one, this would be a good upgrade. But
yeah, I bought my TVs on Black Friday sales.
If you're gonna buy,
we're gonna be the minority very soon.
What's that?
4K TVs just aren't thousands of dollars anymore. So my next will be.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
I was just gonna say the next TV guaranteed you buy will be 4K. Will have 4K support. So
the next Black Friday TV that you buy will have 4K support.
Don't spend your wedding money on a 4K TV, Flo. Oh,
no. I won't. Okay. I won't.
All right.
But you know what? I did spend my wedding money on today.
What?
Google pre-ordering Google Home.
Oh,
which is another one of the devices that Google announced today. This was the home voice assistant that Google had showed off at Google I.O. earlier this year. And some of you might think it looks a little bit like, you know, a mister, an essential oil mister. And it does, because I have one at home that looks exactly like this, which is nice because that means the appliances in my home will apparently look alike. This little contraption has a set of microphones and embedded speakers as well as four LEDs on top, and it's touch-enabled. There's also a button that you can tap to limit listening if you just wanted to leave you alone for the day. Maybe you're having a bad day. You know, you don't want your house talking to you. I completely understand. It's also got far-field voice recognition, and it uses machine learning to filter background noise, help minimize error rates, and it's got, according to Googs, best-in-class voice recognition. I'm sure we're going to want to put that to the test in our kitchens or our living rooms, and we've got lots of hustle and bustle going on in our homes. I'm looking forward to that. Google Home also gives you hands-free music controls. It lets you set a default service. For instance, you can ask it to play very conceptual questions. So for instance, you can ask it to play that Shakira song from Zootopia, which was one of the samples that they showed today during the keynote, and it will play it just because it knows IMDb has listed that as the song or what have you. So it's kind of nice. It's the idea that you can just sort of talk to this little contraption in your house, you know, set it up to sort of do what you want to do, hands-free. Obviously, it kind of is Google's answer to Alexa. Let's be real here. Yeah, it offers service. It offers support for big music services like Amazon. Oh, it has support for big music services except for Amazon and iTunes.
Yeah, big exceptions there.
I apologize. I was misreading my notes. It's very dark in here because I'm trying not to wash myself out. So,
don't worry about
this. Google Home is so much more than I'm just like talking about. It also lets you cast audio to it. It lets you ask questions and get answers. You can do hands-free with OK Google. It integrates with your Nest, SmartThings, Philips Hue's, IFIT integration, which is IFTTT. I pronounce it IFIT. Also lets you voice control your TVs and your speakers via the Chromecast. And there's no word on account recognition, but you can customize the base colors if you like to sort of match the aesthetic. And right now, if you pre-order it, it's $129. It will start shipping November 4th. And it includes 6 months of YouTube Red. And my favorite feature, which I have not, you know, talked about just yet, but it's called My Day. And basically, you talk to Google Home in the morning. It gives you a nice, like, outline of your day's agenda. Kind of the way that Google Now does with the cards, except it reads it to you. Which is so nice. Gives you a summary of the weather, your commute information, what your schedule's like, what you've got shipping toward you, all the stuff that Google Now tells you in the morning.
Which is only helpful to one person in your household.
Me.
That's all that matters. That's the big thing that we all hear. That's spoken as true millennial. That's the one thing that I'm curious about seeing. So the Google Home, I'm immensely excited about. This was the one I was waiting for. This is the one that it seemed to be the big kind of the climax announcement as they were, you know, they went through all the different devices. But there are a lot of questions, you know, mainly how does it work with multiple people in your house? How does it work with multiple voices? These are all things that we've got to see it in action to see how it's going to handle. But it's a great starting point. I pre-ordered mine because I want to be on the ground floor on this one.
Absolutely. I'm with you there, Ron. And I am definitely going to look forward to seeing how it handles both me and my fiance, like having both of our Google accounts, very different Google accounts, very different. We need very different things from Google Home. So I cannot wait for this thing to ship. I'm actually more excited about this than I am about getting a new phone.
Yeah. And the price, you know, undercutting Echo by however many, you know, at $129, it becomes a no-brainer, which I think is great. I like the aggressiveness of pricing.
Jerry,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I like the design. I like the fact that you can sort of like swap out the bases and again, like do that sort of color matching to your living room so it doesn't look like just a tech product. Like Amazon Echo looks like a tech product. It's a black box with blue lights around it.
Amazon Echo reminds me of the old Nexus Q, which looked like a device that was designed not by people who care about things that go in homes. And this is actually the Wi-Fi and the Google Home. These all devices are made, you know, the even the VR headset to a certain degree are made with the idea that real people are using them. So So what did you think of Google Home, Jerry? Are you on board? Did you pre-order?
No, that's the one product I didn't get. Not because I don't think it's going to work well, but I just don't want something in my house that listens to me all the time. And if I bought one, I'd end up having the mic muted all the time anyway. I'm just and not because of paranoia reasons, although those exist. I'm not going to lie, but I forgot. I had my tablet out. I was on a hangout with some friends while I was working today, so I had my tablet sitting here. And I forgot to turn off hot word activation. And through the event, probably 30 times, it tried to search for things that it was telling me. You know, that the live stream was saying, it would say, okay, Google, and my tablet would go off. I'm not into things, listening and doing things without me pushing buttons. Call me old. That's okay.
No, I mean, I completely understand that. If you go into your Google kind of accounts behind the scenes, you can find all of your voice queries that you've ever done. And what's interesting when you do that is how many times something happened when you didn't intend for it and you listen to it. And it's just blah, 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 blah. And it's all this captured audio of your life that you probably never said, okay, in order to trigger prior. It's just... It woke up to something that you said and thought that you said it and then started capturing. And here you have a device that just kind of hangs out and its explicit purpose is to do just that, to provide context, you know, for your life that's useful. But, you know, how do you know how much of that data is actually being transferred? Well, does that matter to you? You know, those are considerations.
Yeah. A discussion I had with a friend earlier, if you could set a custom hot word, I could easily set a word that it's just not going to think it heard unless I really was yelling it at it. And then I could do the things I would like to do, like tell it to start playing my music in my office or you know, turn the lights on in the living room or whatever. But the trade-off of it's just going to randomly listen for things, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. I have ordered one. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know which room to put it in. That's the question. I've got one of these things. Where do I put it? What's the most useful room for it? I don't know.
My guess is, and I thought it was really interesting about how they, how multiple devices will play off one another. You know, so Jason, if you got one and you put it in the kitchen and you put one up in the bedroom and you put one in the living room, it will pick up whichever one you're closest to. Right. And that's the one you interact with. They work together I think that's really cool. I'm curious to see how it's going to work with existing devices. You know, like while the speakers, you know, they seem to be pretty proud of the speakers and said the audio quality will be great. You know, I think the audio quality of my stereo will be greater. So I want to be able to tell Google Home to play music on, you know, the main stereo, not their speakers. So we'll see how that goes. The only thing that really gave me any pause, aside from the limitations that we were talking earlier about whether how it's going to handle multiple people, multiple voices, was that while the presentation was great, this section of the presentation was so produced. And when we saw the Google Assistant being used with the Google Pixel phone, that was a live demo. Or maybe it just looked more convincing of a produced demo. But this demo was completely manufactured to the point where, Jason, you picked up on the fact that the voice had different modulation and different responses, clearly showing different points in the production cycle. So I want to see this, you know, in action. I guess I'll find out on November 8th or 10th whenever it comes to my house. But that's what's great about $129 is that I can take a risk at that price point. So, yeah.
For sure. Yep. Yeah, it was very strange, like watching the demo and hearing Google's old text-to-speech voice model, and it sounded really robotic for a while. And then I remember we made a comment about it. We were like, wow, that's really, you know, that doesn't sound very good. And then the next demo, you know, part of the same block, it was the new one, the totally improved, like, with a little bit less of that kind of robotic edge to it. And I was like, okay, that's a weird kind of... detail to lose along the way. Like, you'd think they would have caught that, or why didn't they? What does that mean?
But I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. Our phones do that now, though. Like, sometimes I'll have maps. We'll do directions in the old voice and directions in the new voice. Like, I never know what I'm going to get. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
That's because your phone is broken.
Yeah, your phone is possessed, I think.
I mean.
Pretty much. That's what it boils down to. Finally, what do we have? Well, all of this kind of hinges around Google Assistant, which we've all had a taste of with Google Allo, albeit however limited it may have been, whether you use Allo on any sort of regularity or not. So maybe you haven't had much of a taste of Assistant, but it's built into there. A lot of this stuff, the Pixel phone is, which by the way is one of the exclusive features of the Pixel phone, is Assistant. They came out with a changelog that details the things that the Pixel phones have exclusive to everything else. Assistant is part of that list, as well as the Pixel launcher. So these are features that when Sundar Pichai months ago said, we really want to differentiate our hardware and our devices so that they are different from others, layer on top of baseline Android, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about Assistant and all that kind of stuff. So we've got that kind of replacement for Google now, only in the Pixel phones. I'm curious to know how Assistant proliferates, if it does, into competitors like Samsung devices or whatever. Right now you get Google Now in Samsung devices. You have the option to do that. Will you be able to do that with Assistant? I don't know if you will, based on kind of that key call out in there.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's for a little while it's Pixel only,
because that's
the differentiator. Great. That's the reason to buy Pixels, to get this. But what struck me about today's presentation was the fact that Sundar was out there first to introduce it, and the basis of everything was Google Assistant. That was the through line throughout every presentation, was, you know, from the Pixel phone to the Google Home, was that these are all connected via Google Assistant. So this seems like a much bigger play than just a little app that will go on the phone and only on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Third parties can create bots for Assistant through actions on Google. That's another thing that they announced. Direct actions for things like home automation, media requests, communication, things like turn on the living room lights, the Philips Hue lights come on, but also conversational actions which require a little more explanation, kind of a conversation with a bot. I need an Uber. Where would you like to go? To work. Would you like an Uber X again? Things like that, back and forth in a conversational manner using Assistant. That is going to be out by early December with an SDK for bringing Assistant to third-party hardware. So talking third-party Google Homes, let's say, is one example, due next year. So we'll see a lot more. We'll see some kind of, you know, an expansion of that ecosystem for other hardware makers. That's the event. What do we think? Oh, the big picture. Jerry, what are your final thoughts on the event as far as what we've seen here? Do you think Google lived up to its promise made by Google? Do you like the direction? I mean, it sounds like you do from a comment you made earlier.
Yeah, I really do. But I can see that, you know, there's a lot of dissent on the internet with my opinion. And I can understand that. This is a very, you know, different Google than we, you know, thought we knew last week, who liked to provide the best that they could provide at the lowest price they could afford to sell it. Now this is Google being a company that acts like they are trying to make money. And it's a very weird shift, but I like it.
Yep. What about you, Ron?
Well, I said a little bit about this on TNT earlier when we were on, but I was really impressed by the modesty of today's event. I felt as if there was a lot of hype going into this event. There was a lot of focus on it. There was a lot, you know, they had outdoor advertising here in New York City. There were big billboards with the date of the event and all that sort of stuff. We had, with all the leaks, we had all these high expectations. Hiroshi with his tweet saying October 4th will be remembered, you know, the same way when we rolled out Android. I don't know if it's quite that level, but I like the fact that the presentation was very understated, very modest, very, you know, not flashy, you know, more white than black. You know, if you think about an Apple event with the dark theater and the stage and the screen, this was in a old converted, you know, power station or factory or something like that.
Not sure
and
what it was, built, but yeah.
Yeah, they had built a very, you know, not a huge screen behind the presenters. Like, I think that it was very, it was just very sincere and very forthcoming. And I like this direction that Google's taking with Made By. And all in all, I'm feeling good about the presentation. So a thumbs up on Google for me.
Excellent. And Flo, what do you think?
It's very obvious by today that Google's really trying to become a hardware company and just sort of shift the narrative that's out there. It's not just search, guys. We've got this whole ecosystem of hardware we want you to try out. And it's no longer, you know, we're no longer just relying on Samsung and HTC and LG to push forward our platform. Like, we want to take it back, and we really want you to buy these things and have them all integrate to see how wonderful it can be. So obviously you guys know my stance on that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of this stuff, and so I'm totally buying into it. But it's going to be interesting to see how the other Android manufacturers, like, what they're going to think about this. I want to see how the sales numbers go. I want to see how the holiday season goes, but I'm super excited for, it just feels like a pep in the step of the Android world. I felt like things were getting a little stagnant for a little bit. So this is nice. It's a nice change.
Yep. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very curious to see what the actual difference is from a consumer standpoint. Like, I know what Google wants out of this. Google really wants to have its own Apple iPhone, Samsung Galaxy. You know, it really wants to have this, like, totally integrated ecosystem of hardware that it creates, and it's seen as the top of the line for Android, and it, you know, moves big numbers, and people, you know, glom onto it in large numbers because it's like the official Android, let's say. That's, I think, what Google really wants out of this. I'm not so certain that that's going to happen, primarily because Android's a different beast entirely, and it has so much history behind it. You know, behind this thing called choice, let's say. And so I know what Google wants. I'm not sure if it's going to get it based on what we saw today. But I like what I saw, and I can't wait to get one. So
There
we go. Okay, we're going to hear about what you think. I put a call out on Twitter earlier today to see what you guys thought. And we got far too many to read on the show, but we're going to read a few of those right after this break. We're going to take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode, FreshBooks. FreshBooks, all new version of their cloud accounting software. It's been redesigned from the ground up, custom built to transform how freelancers and small business owners deal with their day-to-day paperwork. And getting started on FreshBooks, it's never been easier. It's extremely simple. Even if you're not a numbers person, actually, especially especially if you're not a numbers person. It's perfect for you. FreshBooks has created a super intuitive tool that makes it easy to create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. There's no formatting, no formulas, just really simple, clean, and professional-looking invoices. You can add your own logo, your own color scheme to the layout so that your invoice reflects your brand. Really important. And when you send out an invoice, FreshBooks can show you if the client has seen it. You have that receipt indicator, so you know that it's been seen on the other end. You can set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. They have a super handy deposit feature that allows you to invoice for a payment upfront when you're kicking off a project. Your clients are going to, you know, enjoy being able to pay by credit card straight from their invoice. It's one less thing that they have to look into to figure out. FreshBooks has also revealed other features to help keep you organized and streamline the business side of being a freelancer or a small business owner. The redesigned dashboard has been curated to answer the most important question: how is my business doing? You're going to know at a glance what is owed, what's overdue, whether you're in the red. And there's a notification center that works as your personal assistant as well that tells you what's changed in your business since the last time you logged in, what should be dealt with, like things like overdue invoices, that sort of stuff. You can also take pictures of receipts on your phone using FreshBooks app. And you're basically just in general, you're going to spend less time chasing clients. You can automate things like late payment or email reminders and stuff like that. FreshBooks will also handle your time tracking. So when it comes time to create an invoice, you're going to know what you did and when you did it. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our audience. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Start your 30-day free trial today, and we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android and the TWiT Network. So we got a lot of feedback from people. We don't have to read all of these, but I just like threw in a bunch and like summarized them, cut them down to the meat of what people were saying. So I don't know, Ron, why don't you pick one and go first?
Yeah, no, actually the first two I think are I want to touch on in terms of when I'm talking about the price of the Pixel phones. James wrote in and said, I was all ready to replace my Project Fi Nexus 6 with a Pixel phone, but I feel like the price is really holding me back. A 32 gig Pixel XL is almost $800 and the Pixel phones are not as refined as the iPhone 7 or Samsung Galaxy S7. I don't know if I agree with that. Maybe I'll consider it in future revisions, but I need to see more than what they are offering. And also, Lynn Nguyen wrote in and said, it's a tough sell in the $650 market. As a consumer, I don't see the pull from picking it over the S7 or iPhone. I personally would, but even then, it's a stretch. Now, I definitely I echoed my concerns about the price, but I forgot to mention, and I didn't realize that actually, if you go to purchase the phones from Google's website, they're offering zero interest financing programs for $27 a month. You can buy the phone over 2 years, which I don't know if they've done before and I just didn't realize, or is that new for this? But
last year with Project Fi only, though, not unlocked like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like that's a big deal in terms of making it affordable. And if I was going to pull the trigger on one, I would probably go down that route because it makes that $650 a bit more swallowable. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing we didn't mention when we were talking about Daydream VR is that if you buy a Google Pixel phone, at least between now and sometime later in October, they're going to send you the Daydream headset for free.
Yeah, you got to pre-order, basically.
Right, you got to pre-order. But that's pretty cool, though. So
it's a nice added bonus. All right, so that's a couple of people who think it's maybe a little overpriced for what you get. I have a feeling this is a theme in what we heard from. What about you, Flo? You can pick out a couple.
Yeah, we got a lot of the same going on over here from Graham Dixon. Google, you have let the fanboys down and are turning into Apple. The Pixels are way overpriced and underfeatured. Even the iPhone 7 is water resistant. Whether it has a camera bump or not, remember, my Nexus 6P has one too. Simon Bolduc said, out of their mind, if Google expects people to purchase their phone for almost the same amount as an iPhone 7, there we go again, they're nuts. I love and much prefer Android, but Google doesn't seem to appreciate its customers that are willing to pay a premium. I don't know if that's entirely true. We're talking about how we feel like the phones are a little more polished than what the Nexuses were.
Well, I think what's interesting here, and Jerry, I'm curious how you feel about this, is that there is a, like, I was kind of following not only just, you know, some of these emails, and we'll read a few more here to kind of drive the point home, but I was also kind of, you know, gauging just general, you know, comments and stuff like that around these announcements online. And it really seems, by and large, like people are actually really disappointed. Either that, and I think it's, you know, kind of the price point combined with what you get for that price point. Either that, or only the negatives, the people who feel negatively about it, are using their voice. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I noticed there's a big disconnect. The people who haven't, and that's all of us, who haven't seen or used one aren't impressed, but the people who were at the event thought that the phones were really, you know, out of this world
right.
level, that we haven't seen an Android before. I 2 weeks ago I got to play with one that was final hardware, which really got me stoked, and I can see why the people at the event really appreciate the way it's built and how solid it is. It's you can say it's not the level of quality as an iPhone 7 or a Galaxy S7 or a Note 7, but it is. Mm-hmm. It just clearly is. And then I know all this dissent, and I completely understand it, but would we be hearing any of these complaints if it was $150 cheaper? I think everybody's issue is with the price, and I can't argue that. You know, is any phone really worth $800?
Yeah, especially when you consider, like, a comment from James Thatcher here. He says, in all honesty, I was looking to see if I would pull out my credit card before or after the end of the presentation, and then I stopped. I stopped cold. Why am I paying $650 for a phone when I can get a phone with similar specs and have about $250 to go and buy myself a nice gift? When I realize that some don't call it a flagship phone, if you look at the specs of the OnePlus 3, it's almost a head-to-head competitor. There are differences, by the way. That's me talking. Does it have the true Google experience? Maybe not. But are we, as Android users, fans, fanatics, falling into the same reality distortion field that iOS had with this true Google experience? I mean, there are the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to Android, and I have the OnePlus 3 right here, when it comes to Android, you've got a lot of choice and a lot of different price points. And in the past, up until very recently, those price points had distinct differences. And now we've gotten to a point to where the premium devices, air quotes, flagship devices, and a lot of these mid-range $400 devices, in some cases half of what you would pay for these Pixel phones, are close enough that it's really hard to justify doubling the price in order to upgrade to something like a Pixel phone. That's hard for people to swallow.
Agreed completely. It's you have a OnePlus 3 there that is 90% of what the Pixel is, and it's less than half the price.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue that fact away.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard argument to make.
Right. Is that other 10% that basically
really
is just,
worth it.
You know, yeah, it's a little polish or maybe a little bit better support from a different company. Is that worth the $400 markup? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you're also talking about it in this case. So you take the OnePlus 3 as just an example. Hardware-wise, there might be a lot of specs here that match up. But then you've got, you know, the fact that the Pixel phone brings a lot of ecosystem aspects to it, too. Mm-hmm. It brings Assistant as a differentiator. It brings Daydream VR as a differentiator, which you can't do with the OnePlus 3. So how much are those things worth to you? If that's worth an extra $400 for you, maybe that's why Google considers this to be a flagship, because it is very, you know, it is very different from the well-designed, well-specced, but maybe light on features. I mean, it's the Samsung Galaxy approach, right? It's like we've got good hardware and we've got an ecosystem behind it that you can't get anywhere else. Our ecosystem is unique, and that's why you pay the price for it. So Let's see here. I'm trying to find one that was super positive because so many of everybody that wrote in was like, price is too high, price is too high. John Saginario says, excited about Google Home. I think it's got a lot of potential, especially when they open it up to developers later this year. But he goes on to say, not excited about the Pixel or Pixel XL. Sad to see the Nexus line end, particularly because of my wallet. And then Luis Alva says, got to say, I'm really impressed by Google today. But one thing that worries me is the future of Android partnership. With Google going all out on the hardware and software fronts, making sure that their phone is, quote, the Google phone, could this scare OEMs and possibly deter them from Android as an operating system. Would that be a really bad scenario if that happened? I mean, I'm sure Google wants everybody to stay, you know, making Android devices, but I don't know. Is that a horrible outcome? What do you guys think?
What? I mean, Samsung could do it. We said that earlier, but is Samsung going to walk away from an app store with 1.7 million apps in
it? Yeah, it's a hard
heck no, it ain't.
Yeah, I mean,
because they don't have their own resources to make their own operating system. And I'm sorry, Tizen is not a thing here.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Well, I mean, Tizen is a great operating system. I really like it. I'll be honest about that, but the ecosystem is just not there. It's a failure.
Yep.
You have to sideload Android apps to do anything with. That's not an option. And the other OEMs, they have no option. So Google can safely do this, even if it does make everybody else angry.
Right. At this point, more than any point.
Well, maybe instead of angry, they should think about how to make better phones, how to make something that's more competitive.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that I would hope that this is not going to scare them away, rather motivate them and rally them to try to beat Google at their own game. You know, if I was sitting there at Samsung watching that, I'd be like, hey, we're on our seventh or sixth iteration of our phone. You know, like we're dominating for a reason. We do something really well. You want to play in our pool. You've got to prove that you're better than what we're doing. Oh, and our phone is water resistant. Yours isn't. You know, like, so there's going to continue to be innovations from other companies. And I think just the competition just makes it a better market for the consumer. So,
right.
Ron, which character would you play in this little duel of the manufacturers?
I'm not the Samsung guy, that's for sure. Come on. But that said, even though I'm a little pro Google in that regard, we did see a tweet from Andreas Majuni who said, are we really going to talk about this date 8 years from now? Feels like they forgot something. And I echoed that sentiment a little earlier, that I thought Hiroshi's statement of, you know, we debuted Android 8 years ago today, I feel like October 4th will be remembered in the same way, was a little hyperbole. And I've been thinking about why he would say that. And the only thing I can think of is if Google Assistant ends up becoming the thing that changes our world, and 8 years from now we look back to when they modestly rolled it out. You know, that's the only thing I can think of.
It's not even about the phones, is what you're saying. No. It's not about the phones. It's about the software that, yeah.
It's the intersection. It's the intersection of the software and the hardware. I think that's what they want today to be remembered by.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I could also see the rationale, the thinking of, man, you know, we started Android with this idea of everybody lifts it up. This is the point where we became the premier device maker for our platform. Like, I could also kind of see that, you know, we've taken hardware into our hands, and this, you know, and you'll look back and realize, you know, 5 years from now, when all of our phones are these mega hits and they were all designed and produced in-house like others who do this successfully, that this was the date that we started down that path. That's kind of how I've interpreted it. But yeah, I can see it from the assistant side too. I guess it works on multiple levels.
I guess time will tell. We'll find out who writes your story. So
yeah,
maybe you're both right.
Yeah,
this is about hardware that's tailored for things like Assistant or other features that will turn Android into a different ecosystem than it is today.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yes, only time will tell, Ron. All right. What do we say we pass? We move along from the event and we move into a different event of sorts. It's time for the arena.
This battle.
Zoom mini enter. But only one. Android Arena.
You know, I just had the idea. I realized that we need to challenge someone to make a bumper or do something that uses DJ Marshmello's music, I think.
Oh, then we'd have to listen to it every week, Ron. What are you doing? What are you doing? Wade County has the results. It looks like Rodeo Stampede. Yes. I didn't know that that was going to win, but it did. 34% of the vote.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't expect that one. Two Health App was second place with 27%. That was Mateo's app that he brought in. Dango was 24%, and Story Save at 15%.
I should have explained Dango better. I think I could have won if I would have explained it better. Darn me.
No, Dango, me. Dang it. No, that doesn't work.
No, that works. I like where you're going there.
Okay, I need a little more work with that one. Ron, I think that means that you are in last place, right?
I am.
So
yes.
You go first.
So I came in last week, so I'm going to go first. This app is something that I literally found hours before submitting my app this morning. And quickly, this happens to me a lot. I'm like, well, let me look to see if there's anything interesting I don't know about. And then I find one that just totally changes my world. This one is called Dactyl. And
I don't know if I have
long story short, if you have a phone with a fingerprint scanner like the Nexus 6P or any other phone that has a fingerprint scanner, it allows you to use the fingerprint scanner as the shutter button on a photo app.
Oh,
that's
think
it?
About that. Think about that.
Okay.
Right?
I'm that's installing cool. it frantically. I apologize.
Dactylogram, an impression taken from a finger, comma, yes. or colon, fingerprint.
Yep. So you can use your fingerprint scanner as your shutter button to take a photo, which when you think about it, at least for me on my Nextbit Robin, the button, that's my fingerprint scanner. Now I can go like this and take pictures just by using the fingerprint scanner. Pretty darn cool. So all you got to do is once you install it, you enable it in the accessibility section of your settings.
Okay, I'm doing that right now.
Okay, let's take a look at it. Boom. So he's enabling it, right? So now it's also important to note, and they mentioned it hang on, Jason, before you move on from here, okay. Scroll back up. On the page in the Google Play Store, the developer does specify that this works on most camera apps. Doesn't work on all of them because the camera app developer needs to enable accessibility. And if they haven't done that, then it won't work. So very smartly, the developer has listed a list of apps that it works on, and it sorts them by the ones that you already have on your device so that you're able to say, okay, yeah, I've got Google Camera, I've got Facebook Messenger, I've got Snapchat, et cetera. And what you can do is you can check or uncheck whether you want to use it or not on within those apps. But so now, Jason, if you go to – and also the developer is proactively asking people, if you find a camera app that doesn't support this, let me know and also let the developer know, and I'll work with them to get it to work together. So that's kind of neat. So, Jason, if you go to Google Camera, just launch your standard Google Camera app. What it does is it gives a little overlay there. It says Dactyl service is running. And so now just hover over your and you just took a picture.
I just took a picture. Look at that.
That's pretty cool. So the little overlay that said Dactyl service is running, you can turn that off in the app settings if you don't want to see that every time. Actually, Jason, if you go back to the app, so go up to the settings, the gear. And there you can turn off the is running message. You can also turn off notifications because the developer is very proactive about letting you know that this is running or this is working or it isn't. But if you use the Google Camera app and you've got a fingerprint scanner, boom, you've got a new way to take photos.
And I've got 10 of this particular photo in my Google Photos reel now. Yeah. Lucky me.
Yep. So as you can imagine, it requires that you have a device with a fingerprint scanner. But aside from that, you're off to the races and ready to go. One thing is that it is very dependent on running Nougat and Marshmello. So make sure you're running the latest Android operating system. I assume everybody is. But there you go. Dactyl. Pretty cool.
You never know.
And actually, it's in the Google Play Store, it's called Dactyl Fingerprint Camera. Because there's also a game called Dactyl that I think is about pterodactyls. So you want to make sure you're looking for Dactyl fingerprint camera.
Oh, okay. That's important.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. That is Dactyl and $1.99 on
Worth every penny when you think about it. Oh, excellent. It's amazing. Yeah.
All right, cool stuff. Flo, you are up next, and I have it installed. I'll show it off for you.
Lovely. Well, I have a cute little app called Lenka, which sounds like a little Russian lady photographer, right? I mean, I think it kind does. That's kind of what attracted me to it. So this app is cool because it is developed by world-renowned photographer Kevin Abosh. I hope I said his last name correctly. He just made this little app. It's a very simple black and white camera app. It shows you real time. What you see is what you get, black and white photography. You can toggle between auto and manual tap to focus. You can pinch the screen to switch from a rectangular full frame format to a square format to make it easier to translate over to Instagram. I'm trying to like go slower so Jason can catch up with me. Yeah. You can adjust the contrast manually with the control slider. You can adjust the temperature of the black and whiteness. There's options to take a photo with the volume buttons. You can edit photos by cropping and rotating them. And then, of course, when you're finished, you can export them to share to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, there is a little light bulb icon feature that lets you illuminate your subjects. So you can kind of control like where the light is coming from without it making look like flash.
Wait a minute. How do I do that? This light bulb thing? That's the flash, but that's the flash on the back, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't look like flash.
Oh.
What's the idea? The idea is it looks like a, you know, back in the old days when you had black and white cameras and the lighting had to like come from the side because you had to have some like separate lighting. It's supposed to kind of look like that.
Oh, okay.
So the only... Maybe I'm not selling this well by telling you this, but I can't seem to find the ability to take a front-facing photo. So this is definitely just for introspective, rear-facing camera photography. But it's a fun black and white app. I like to take my own dramatic emo photos with this on the weekends. Sometimes I like to do my makeup all dramatic and then do little photo shoots because I am vain. But I like this app. I just really like the black and white photos that it produces, and they look much... they look better than what you would get with like a Vasco Cam app or what you might get with like an Instagram filter. They just look more black and whitey.
I like the UI. I really like the UI of the app.
I like the UI, and I like the contrast that's available in the black and white photos and sort of like the different scaling. So it's a good, just a very simple black and white photo app.
Nice. Targeted at just black and white photos. Lenka is the name of that app. Jerry, I have your app installed on the Nexus 6P. I'll show it off while you talk about it.
Okay. My app is Tiles, and it's for Android 7 only, for starters. You need to say that up front. But it lets you add things to the quick settings. I was playing around with the quick settings API when I was looking through the source code, and I said, well, somebody has to be taking advantage of this. And after some searching, I ran across this, and it was an instant buy for me because of the notes feature. You can add a reminder note that actually sits in your notification shade if you'd like. And I thought this was a great example of what, you know, the quick settings API was for. And I really didn't think that I'd use it as much as I do, but it is actually, I have 3 or 4 tiles in my quick settings now just from this app, and I kind of like it. So I think you guys would like it too.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, okay, so this says tile visibility, hide the tile in the quick settings. That means that's what it's currently doing. So right, now it's show the tile.
Quick settings.
So now it's show the tile. Oh, that's what I was missing. Okay, and now it's offered as an option down here.
Yeah,
there we go. That's what I was missing.
What position you'd like it, and I kind of think it's...
That's cool.
There's a map shortcut. You can even put your weather there.
There it is.
I think it's a great example of why Google makes these APIs, and you know, makes Android as open as it is, because this is great. You know, you don't have to wait for Samsung or Motorola to make something like this. This developer can make it for you.
There it is. Hello. Okay, so that's what I was missing. So you activate it, and that gives you the option to add it from the edit tray.
It actually adds it to the quick settings itself.
Nice. So we'll go ahead and activate that. Now that's visible. If I go in to edit, now it's down there. Weather, I can drag it up. Go ahead and put it there. And it's now usable. Weather. And so I would have to grant the permission, I see. So the first time I did not grant it permission. There we go. Love that. And now demonstrate. We have weather. There we go.
Neat.
Nice. Looks great. It's that neat. Works really well. That's excellent. I can refresh if this isn't up to date as much as I want. Neat. Dang, this is a good app.
That's a good pick, Jerry.
This is a hard one.
I love it. I'm downloading it right now.
It's going to be difficult to beat that one.
Yeah.
But we've got
you
some.
You know what? Just give up, Jason.
I can't give up. I'm not going to give up because mine is like dead simple. Mine is one of those like single purpose. Most of this arena actually is like, you know, kind of system tweaky sort of things behind the scenes. Mine is called Rocker Locker. And some of you. Rocker Locker.
That's a funny name.
Yeah, but it works. So let's go ahead and take a look at my Samsung Galaxy S7 or the Note 7 here. You can see right now when I do volume up and volume down, it's changing my ringtone. Some people would say that this makes them sad because what they want their volume rocker to do by default is to change their media volume.
Heck yeah.
Rocker
Preach.
Volume.
Preach.
Enable. And now it changes my media volume. Going
Ooh,
forward, as long as it's
installing,
as long as it's installed and it's enabled, it's going to change my media volume when I hit the volume rocker by default. I haven't had any issues with it. Dead simple, does one thing. That's what it does. Rocker Locker. This is like a problem that you have. I'm not sure if I would necessarily, because I'm so used to the volume rocker controlling my ringer, but there are a lot of people that just want that to control their media volume all the time. Here you go. By default, now it controls your media volume.
I just installed it
on my V10, which I use as a
I got to get that because I was just lamenting about that on the BART right here.
Oh, man. I could put, yeah. Oh, I'm starting to think about how I can use this. I have a Nexus 5X at our home that is set up to only be a music player because my kids have access to it. And I want them to always be able to play music whenever they want, but I don't want them to always be able to hop onto YouTube and watch a video or, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to control that stuff. But music, you can listen to that anytime you want. I could put this on there, and that way it always controls the media volume. So I'm going to do that at home, too. That's Rocker Locker, and it is free, I believe. There you go. Pretty straightforward. I'm going to go ahead and publish this because, Josh, I have not done that yet. My apologies. There will be a poll here in a second, and you will be able to get to it at AAA. Poll vote. I don't know what it is here. Let me just do this. Someone vamp. Someone vamp for me, please.
Well, it was a fun-filled day of Google excitement.
Thank you. And you guys know it actually rained yesterday in California, which is very nice.
Oh, this
nice
is good vamping. This is solid vamping. I appreciate
it. What I think is interesting is that, I mean, I couldn't even tell you anything else that happened in the world of Google in the world of Android because everything was focused. I feel like everything stopped right before this announcement, and then after this announcement, it's just been focused on Tixel and all that sort of stuff, and we'll see what comes tomorrow. But it's slow news day.
You have vamped.
Tomorrow's update Wednesday. Usually Google updates apps on Wednesdays.
We'll see if that there happens tomorrow. Thank you for vamping. bit.ly/AAAvote286. AAAvote286 is where you want to go. bit.ly/AAAvote286. Which makes me smile a little bit because I think at some point I had a 286 PC back in the day.
Who are you going to vote for, Josh?
It's important stuff, Josh.
Oh,
Tiles. Good there pick. Good pick.
He doesn't even use Android.
Yeah, but he wishes he did because of that.
Hey, that was pretty cool.
See? He's thinking. He's actually okay, so his name, sometimes people refer to him as the Mac and Josh because he's all in on the Apple side of things. I've heard a lot of disappointment about the iPhone.
I'm really bitter.
Yeah, he's bitter.
Yeah.
And I think we might have the chance to pull
one
him over.
One of us.
Once and for all. Thank you for joining us for this crazy episode and a little long. But Jerry Hildebrand, always a pleasure getting you on, man. We need to get you on more. I really enjoy having you on, especially on this episode. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I enjoy coming, too. It's
right on.
Just a scheduling thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely understand. It's not easy to carve out an evening, especially when this episode runs a little long like it did tonight. So I'm going to let you go. Where can people follow all the cool stuff that you do?
You know what? I'm doing the Twitter thing more. So if anybody that knows me knows that, wow, Jerry's doing the Twitter thing. It's at GBHIL, and that is just my initials and my old IRC handle.
Excellent.
And you can find me on Twitter. And right now, because that's what I'm focusing on, that's probably the best way to learn anything that I have to say or see anything I might be doing.
Excellent. Do it at GB Hill on Twitter. Thanks again, Jerry. Always a pleasure. And we'll have you back soon. Maybe on the next big Google announcement.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Flo, what about you?
Well, guys, if I seem a little frazzled, it's because next week is finally the week. I won't be here next week because I will finally getting married. After like 2 years of planning this ridiculous day. So,
oh, I didn't realize it was Flo. I haven't gotten my invitation yet.
Yeah, neither have I.
Shouldn't we have gotten it by now? Or
actually, you have extra room if you guys want to come.
Awkward.
Wow.
I'm going to drink myself silly now.
To be fair, I started planning the wedding before I was even on the show. But,
yeah, that's true. That's true. You did.
And here I thought we bonded. Here I thought we had something.
We did bond, actually.
I thought we were a family. I thought we had something.
You even share the same birthday? I mean, seriously.
I know. It is pretty serious. Anyway, so I won't be here next week because I'll be dealing with that ridiculousness. Cool. But until the end of the week, you can follow me on Snapchat and Twitter at Oh That Flow and at AndroidCentral.com where I am penning things. And then I'll be gone next week in wedding land.
Congratulations to you, Flo. I hope you have a wonderful wedding. Take lots of pictures because apparently Ron and I will not be there. Ron.
No, I feel bad.
Just kidding. I know. I'm making you feel bad on
purpose.
You feel bad. I bought a ticket to California. What am I going to do next weekend now?
You should come on the show.
Oh, yeah. I should do that. Jeez.
Ron, what about you?
No, I will not be attending Flo's wedding at a protest.
But you
can go to about.me/RonXoe where you can find links to me on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff where you can see what I'm doing instead of going to Flo's wedding. There you go. But in the immediate future, I'm going to be enjoying not doing 3 shows in 1 day. So.
Yeah, enjoying sleep. Yes. What about you, Mac and Josh? Where can people find you? Mac and Josh?
The Mac and Josh.
Oh, actually. The.
You can't forget T-H-E in front of it, but you can follow me. Yes, it is. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram, Snapchat. It's all the same username. And you can follow my bitter descent from being a happy Apple person to...
A Apple person. I actually kind of like that.
I'm Apple.
Bitter Apple.
No, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's just... You know.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of really just kind of disappointment in your voice when it comes to Apple. Normally, I'm used to hearing lots of joy, so I'm a little concerned.
Are you though? Are you really?
Well, no, actually,
like
that's not true at all.
All the time anyway.
That's not true.
This is nothing new.
I'm just talking. Well, let us know how it goes. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Real quick before we go, Twit is now on the Amazon Echo Flash briefing. So if you have an Amazon Echo, you can get everyday updates on all the tech news and stuff that's happening here. Leo, myself, and Megan Maroney are all updating these on a daily basis. So to hear Twit's flash briefing, be sure to go to your settings in the Alexa app, search for Twit, and subscribe, and that'll start you off the right way every single morning. But that is it for this week. Thanks for joining us on an important episode of All About Android. Voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Email and video mail, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. You can find show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find all our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, all over the map, wherever podcasts are found. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone. And congratulations to Flo. Yay!
Aw, thanks.